Let's open with hymn number 36. Forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. By thy Holy Spirit, that we may not hear thy word without fruit, but that we may prepare ourselves rightly for thy kingdom, and not allow ourselves to be hindered by any worldly care, through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this second Sunday after Trinity is found in the 9th chapter of Proverbs, the 1st through the 12th verse. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Rebuke not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the third chapter of 1 John, the 13th through the 18th verse. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Here ends the epistle. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Hallelujah. Chapter of Luke, verses 16 through 24. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 313.
Oh.
peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in the first chapter of Daniel, the entire chapter, verses 1 through 21. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he would bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, youths in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these children of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces sadder than the youths who are of your sort? Then ye shall make me endanger my head before the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Test thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the youths who eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the portion of the king's meat. Then Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among all them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Strengthen us in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Dear redeemed of the Lord, our Lord Jesus has not promised us that Christians will have a prosperous life by the standards of men. Christians are made of all sorts of men, from the poorest of the poor to the rich. Becoming a citizen of heaven does not change our lot in this world. The poor usually remain poor in the physical blessings. The crippled, the blind, men with every sort of disease or ailment do not miraculously get better upon becoming Christians. There are exceptions, of course, for life is very different after the preaching of the cross has converted a man. Some few who are sick do recover, but some who are healthy may thereafter get sick. Those who live at peace with men may find upon conversion that their friends are now their enemies. In this world, believing the gospel could well mean the censure of the government, persecution, torture, or even death. In faith, some are lifted up. In faith, some are persecuted. In faith, some live as they did before, only now they live out of love for Christ, who has redeemed them from their sins. So what's the difference between the children of God who hear his word and keep them, and the children of men who pay it no heed, who turn aside God's gracious invitation of life and salvation? Though there are surely before and after differences, they're nothing that any man can predict. Because the truth is that it is God himself and not men who will decide what is best for those who believe on his name. He may bless their lives with success or failure, acclaim or persecution, but in either case, these are still his blessings. One could well consider that those four Israelite children, children from Judea who were carried into Babylon, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were miserably oppressed. In the land of Babylon, they were taken from their parents. They were forced to live in the king's household. He took over their education. He governed even how they were going to eat. Their own wishes and desires were made subject to the wit and whim of mighty King Nebuchadnezzar. They were slaves. They were separated first from their land, then from their family. Would they now be separated from God? It seemed that's where things were going. God had given his people Israel special laws and signs to set them apart from the nations, things that identified them as the people of the Lord, who were sanctified to bring in the Lord's Christ, his righteousness. Now these boys were on the verge of losing those things which distinguished them from the heathen nations. In Babylon, the Jews as a whole could not offer the temple sacrifices, but almost everything else they could retain. They could circumcise their male children on the eighth day. They could keep the Passover. They could eat the clean meats and refuse the unclean. But now not so for these boys. They were commanded to eat from the table of King Nebuchadnezzar. They were being ordered to disobey their Lord. If they chose instead to disobey the king, they could face death. For we know that King Nebuchadnezzar thought nothing of throwing men into a fiery furnace, as three of these four boys would later discover in their life. The boys were faced with a choice, the same choice ultimately that we all must face. Should they follow the word of the Lord and believe his promise, or should they compromise and doubt that the Lord can sustain those who trust in him? Without doubt, that is our choice. Do all things indeed work together for good to them that love God? The negative things of this world and the positive. Or is that promise of God false? And must we always doubt whether it is for the good that we hear and obey his word? To us, it may seem a trifling thing, this matter of which food they could eat and which food they could not. And that's because the Lord, for us, no longer requires that we separate ourselves from the world by such laws as those, because Christ Jesus has now fulfilled them, and the old law has passed away. But for those four children, these were very real matters of great concern. They were bound as children of Israel to obey them. Since Babylon was not governed by the laws of Israel, particularly the purity laws which governed the clean and unclean meats, it was absolutely certain if they ate the food of the king, they would break the word of the Lord. Daniel did not wish himself nor his friends to be defiled by eating what the Lord had forbidden. Compromise would be so easy. They had a good excuse. Common sense dictated that the children would become weak if they ate nothing but vegetables and water. Surely the Lord would not wish them to grow weak. But the only alternative was to eat what God had forbidden. For Daniel, even as a child, there was no option at all. He would follow the word of the Lord. Perhaps he'd be slain. Maybe not. Many who have refused to follow men rather than God have met the point of the sword. God has not delivered them all from death. Daniel and the other boys had no assurance that God would deliver them now. Daniel asked of faith, and he laid himself before the mercy of the king and the mercy of God. Don't trivialize this petition of Daniel. The moral of this story is most decidedly not that vegetables are healthier than meat, because the healthy diet God had prescribed for his people always included meat as a matter of course. It was his regard for the Lord and his word that moved Daniel. For the matter of unclean meats was no trifling matter. He did not want to be defiled by the unclean foods, and so break God's word and chip away at those things which separated them from the pagan customs of the nations. God wanted Israel to be a separate, holy people, so that they might be a blessing to the whole world through Christ Jesus. This was even more important now that they were in a foreign land, surrounded by strange and pagan customs. More than ever, they needed the constant reminder that they are not of this people, and they could not in any way partake of their idolatry and other sins. But what could they do? To refuse the food of the king could easily get these boys killed. Surely no one would fault them, especially such young boys, for giving up just this small part of God's word and eating what he had forbidden. After all, it was for a good purpose of preserving their lives. Today we might say the same thing regarding the constant pressure which is put upon Christians to conform to the world, the norms of this world, in their clothing, in their music, in their literature. Sadly, many have given up that which has marked them as separate from the world, and they've adopted new signs and music and practices which are more comfortable for the unbeliever. Surely they think this is the way to blessing. And why not? Since we're no longer commanded by God to eat a certain way, and we are not commanded by God to worship him with a certain liturgy or form, the temptation is greater still, to make all that we do more compatible with the world, to yield this or that small thing, to give up the liturgy or the hymns or the altar or the vestments, or at least change them to comply with some more modern standard. But as it was with the ordinances of God, it's the same way with how we worship him. Though the specific manner of our worship is not commanded by God, what we do through those forms is ordained by him. We are still pilgrims and strangers in a foreign land, and therefore we still cling to things which separate us and identify us as citizens of heaven. Therefore, we preach the gospel. We administer the sacraments. By these things we are converted and forgiven. By these we join with the saints of God from every age in receiving the wondrous good things of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation which God freely gives us in his Son Jesus Christ. Yield them so that the world can join the church more comfortably, and you'll soon find that you have neither the church nor Christ. All you'll have left is the world. It is not by conforming to this world that we win men to Christ, but by being transformed through the Holy Spirit with renewed minds filled with his word, a word that is taught in those familiar hymns and the liturgy and the music and all those various forms which identify us as a Christian church. We will not abandon them because God has done great things in his church. And we know that we have been blessed by such faithfulness, not to mere forms of men, but to the substance which those forms proclaim, to Christ who is preached among us. The blessings which come from faithfulness to God's word are not just for ourselves, but for others. So it was with Israel. God promised Abraham, "In thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And so our faithfulness may give us no immediate benefit at all. And yet it can still be used by God to feed and strengthen the faith of others. That's the way it was for these four children. God caused the chief of the eunuchs to love Daniel dearly. And therefore Daniel met with success when he made his request. He said, "Test us. Let us eat only vegetables and water for 10 days, and then look at our faces. See if they are fleshed out or if they have grown thin. Compare us to those who eat the meat from the king's table, and then you be the judge." The Babylonians were not ignorant barbarians. They had a highly advanced culture and science for their day. Melzar, the eunuch who had direct charge over the boys, had a legitimate concern. Likely born of experience, he said, "The king will have my head if after these 3 years you come before him and you're impoverished and you look like you're skinny little things." The king would take that as a sign that they were unfit to be his advisors. Melzar, or his master, would be punished. Nevertheless, he consented. He tested them for 10 days. To his astonishment, the boys were far healthier. Their faces more fleshed out than all the others who ate from the king's table. The Lord had blessed the boys for their faithfulness, not only with good health, but with great wisdom and knowledge, which excelled all the advisors of the king tenfold. Through their wise advice, their faithfulness became a blessing to the whole kingdom of Babylon, and to all their people who were held there in captivity. Some would perhaps like to take this story and conclude that the Lord will always grant similar success to those who are faithful to his word. That promise is not here, but the Lord does indeed promise to bless all those who believe on him and to make them a blessing for the whole earth. And so we are urged, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we see that Daniel became a man through whom God revealed his power to this great and mighty nation of Babylon, and later to the nation of the Medes and Persians. The other three children, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whom the Babylonians named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God would show his glory through them when he preserved them in a fiery furnace and demonstrated even to pagan King Nebuchadnezzar that the Lord was a God who saves men through his Son. Through their faithfulness, God blessed these boys, and he blessed Babylon, and he blessed the people of Judea that were held captive there, and he blessed generations yet unborn who would learn of Christ through the witness of these four. And to this day, God's blessings continue to come to us through the witness of the prophet Daniel. To this day, many Jews are converted when they read in Daniel that God had so ordained that his son, the Messiah, would not merely come and be a king, but he would be cut off and die, not for himself or his own sins, but for the sins of the world, that God might bring in everlasting righteousness for all. What blessing can we now expect if we are faithful to the word of the Lord? That which the Lord has promised, that when we believe in his Son Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. That we shall be glorified in heaven and see our God face to face. That until heaven and earth pass away, a feast of heavenly blessings will be freely given to us in God's word and in the sacraments which our Lord Jesus has ordained. These blessings are before the eyes of the whole world. They seem plain and trivial to most. Look at the parable of the Great Supper. What blessing did the many prominent men who were invited finally receive? The men who lived a good life with property and cattle, a prosperous family. But they did not heed the invitation to come to the Lord's feast. In their case, success brought them failure. When all was said and done, Jesus says, "None of them shall eat of my supper." But who heard and came? The poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind, the ones who were despised, unproductive by human standards, burdens on society because of their frailty and their poverty. They are invited purely out of grace. And in grace, the Lord received them when they came, and they filled his house. Their failures in life brought them success because God had used them in that way. Even so, our true blessedness never comes in bodily successes, even though God may, for a time, grant them to us as he granted them to the four children. Our blessings are more often in our frailty. It was by the greatest lowliness and weakness that our Lord Jesus brought eternal blessings upon the whole world. And therefore, whether rich or poor, whether strong or weak, we all enter the kingdom of God through weakness and lowliness, because no man enters there except by grace. May God therefore grant that whether we live or die, whether we prosper in this life or suffer, that we may be faithful to his word, that we may be a blessing to our brethren and to all the world, and that we may then be blessed ourselves in heaven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless these gifts which we offer unto thee, and make them fruitful in performing the work of thy kingdom. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, our strength and stay, grant us thy fear and love, that we, walking in thy heavenly precepts, may attain the beginning of all true wisdom. We praise thee for the revelation of thyself in thy law, in which thou dost teach us thy holy will, and by which thou dost govern the world. Grant that it may always instruct us in righteousness, that we may give heed to its commandments, and that we may not fall under its judgments. We bless thee for the prophets of old, through whom thou hast unveiled thy grace and given us precious promises. We beseech thee to bestow upon us thy Spirit, that we may grow in the knowledge of thee and ever be comforted by thy faithfulness in the fulfillment of thy word. We thank thee that in the merits and mercies of Christ our Lord, thou hast prepared us for the great supper of salvation, and through the preaching of the gospel hast invited all to come and to break bread in thy kingdom. We pray that thy church may faithfully bring that invitation to all nations. Send her messengers forth to invite those in the streets and lanes of the city, and those on the highways of life, the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind, the weak and the erring, the sorrowful and the troubled, that they may taste of thy supper and see that thou art merciful and good. Lord God of hosts, rule over our nation and sanctify all who are in authority. Give our nation a love of righteousness and a hatred for all that is contrary to thy law. Bless our homes, that they may be schools of true wisdom and harbors of true love, and that all who abide there may find peace and joy in harmony with thee and one another. We ask thy special guidance, protection, and comfort for the sick and the sorrowful, the aged and the lonely. Tenderly bestow upon them thy mercy, and show them what great things thou hast prepared for thy children. Hear our prayer, O Father, and if there be anything else we should have asked, grant it unto us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior and intercessor. Amen. We sing hymn number 500.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. Not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn number 267.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.